Hello, this session is called Never Run Out of Ideas Again. And it's a very simple concept that's going to last you the rest of your life and be extremely effective, and has been a subject of my own playing as well. And I recently went to a creativity workshop run by the Elite Guitar Teacher's Inner Circle, and I found that a lot of the topics that were being taught were very applicable to my own playing. And one of the first things they did was phrasing, and there are several other presentations I have on phrasing, but this one is called Congruency of Phrasing. And my playing, when I listen back to my playing a live gig, I almost always have the exact same critique of it, which is that I play too many ideas too fast. I switch between ideas. I don't develop ideas. My phrase, the essence of phrase congruency is that the next phrase you play has bears some relationship to the previous phrase. I mean, if I was a great writer, but every sentence that I wrote had nothing to do with the previous sentence, no one would ever want to read, you know, my books or essays or something. It would just be a mess, you know. Maybe it would be studied by some eclectic, I don't know, critic or something, but it wouldn't be popular because no one would make sense out of it. So it's a very powerful thing. So phrase congruency, again, every phrase has to do something to do with the previous phrase. I'm not trying to instill like boredom or monotony, because there's a lot of different elements that you're about to see. So what I've done is I recorded a rock example and then a jazz example, and then I also notated the times of what I was thinking about or what element of a phrase is being, you know, thought about or being developed or being played around with. And it's easy to move from one idea to the next, because when you take an idea, when you take an element of a phrase and repeat it in a new phrase, inevitably there's something else in that phrase that's different from the previous phrase. So you have something that's the same as, or something that's different. So you can either continue with the sameness or hear what the different thing is and go with that. So you don't always have to, otherwise you'd just be stuck on the same idea all the whole time. You'll see what I mean when you listen to these examples. Now let's just talk briefly about what an idea could be. Generally, a motif, you know, M-O-T-I-F, is a germ of an idea that can be expanded, contracted, reversed, sped up, slowed down, anything to do with the idea. Famous examples of motifs are like Beethoven's Fifth, which is da-na-na-na, you know, or the famous Mozart, A Little Night Music. Sorry, excuse my singing. I just didn't feel like getting the guitar for those examples. But think of how those pieces developed, and they became famous for a reason, because the ideas are very, very simple. I mean, think about Beethoven's one. It's da na na na. It's four, one, two, three, four notes, and three of them are the same. But yet, he developed it masterfully. So, it's effortless to build or develop a melody or a solo. These techniques apply to writing as well as to improv. There are such things as harmonic motifs, but for now we're going to stick with melodic and rhythmic motifs. A rhythmic motif is when you just zero in on the rhythm of a phrase and you repeat the same rhythm or mostly the same rhythm or some element of the rhythm, and then it can be the same notes or different. A melodic motif is when it's something to do with the notes itself, nothing to do with the rhythm, like a certain, maybe one note or two or three notes that catch your ear and you want to milk them in your phrase or make them prominent in different phrases as you go along. Or it could be a relationship between notes, like, you know, an interval, like if you play, let's say, an octave or a fifth or something, and then, you know, the notes can shift around, but the motif of an octave or a fifth, you know, remains the central part of each phrase, or at least an element of each phrase. And I don't know, as I go and listen to these and notate what I was thinking about, I don't know if I did the examples 100%. We'll have to see how I did in terms of, does every single phrase relate to the previous one? There are times where I think that I should just change direction, but I'm trying not to do that for the purposes of this because, like I said, my criticism with my own playing sometimes is that I jump around too much. So we'll see if I was able to do that. And I want to hear your results in doing this. It's a very, very powerful exercise. And just a couple of notes about the performance itself. I never meant for you guys to listen to this. I was actually just recording this for myself to see if I could achieve phrase congruency over a rock tune and over a jazz tune for an extended period of time, for 10 minutes. So you got to keep in mind, first, a couple things. This is not a performance. There are mistakes. There are added tune notes. So don't play it for anybody, okay? Secondly, this is probably the most important part. I'm not suggesting that these particular elements that I am using are better than any others. So don't focus on the actual thing, like what am I doing, and try to copy those. We can certainly do all those elements, but I think probably when I was doing it, before I knew I was going to be doing it for teaching purposes, I probably was doing the elements that I don't use enough, like half step bends and things like that. So I'm certainly not recommending that those are the best elements. In fact, these are the elements, like I just said, I use the least, so I needed to practice them. But the point of it is, obviously, that you can continue developing your phrases effortlessly. I mean, I went on for 10 minutes on the jazz one and 12 minutes on the rock one, and it didn't seem like I would ever run out of ideas. And it's a wonderful thing. So this is a very powerful practice. Have fun.